I'm expecting God to do great things today. I really believe that God wants to touch hearts today. And as we get in this last portion of Laodicea, where we see God knocking on the hearts of the people there in Laodicea, I believe God's going to be knocking on hearts in here today and just doing a great work. And I don't know about you guys, but are you guys satisfied with your relationship with the Lord? I'm not. I'm not satisfied with my relationship. Don't take me wrong. He's satisfying. Don't misunderstand me. He's very satisfying. I'm not satisfied with my relationship with Him. I want more of Him. How about you? Amen. And I want to see Him do greater things here at Calvary Chapel. How about you guys? Amen. I want to see God move in a new and fresh way. I want to see God's Spirit work among us in a new and fresh way. I want to see a freedom of God's Spirit in this place, and I want to give God glory in the midst of it. And I'm just excited about what the Lord is doing in my heart, and I think what God's going to do in your hearts today. Let's open our Bibles to Revelation chapter 3. And while you guys are turning there, let's pray and ask for God to really meet us in a powerful way. Father, we believe in your power, and we believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. And we haven't just come here today for a Bible study. I thank you for your word and how we need to know your word. And God, how we need to study your word and be, as your word says, God, to be not ashamed, but to rightly divide the word, Lord, knowing it and be a student of your word. But God, we also want to know you on an intimate level. We need the touch of your Spirit. God, we need to know you on a personal way and not just facts and knowledge and history and backgrounds and all these great things. We want to know you. We want to experience you, Lord. And I pray, God, you'd make it real for everyone in here today that if we come in this place, Lord, we've come here to meet with our God and we've come to seek our God's face and to have our God touch us. And I pray that right now you would soften hearts and you would prepare hearts and you would move in hearts and make them ready to receive so that as you begin to knock on hearts in this place today, that God, we would be swinging the door wide open and saying, Lord, come in and take your bride. And Lord, if there's any here this morning who are not yet your bride, they've not given their life to you, that I pray that that door of their heart would swing open today and they would receive you as Lord and as Savior. And so Lord, pour out your Spirit on us today. Pour out your oil and let us know that we have been in the presence of our God, the true and the living God. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelation chapter 3, starting in verse 20, says this: Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. And to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now we come to the last portion today of the church of Laodicea. And by the way, it's the last portion of all the churches. Those of you guys that have been here from the very beginning when we started going through the churches, we've seen all seven. You've seen us go through them. We've talked about how there were literal churches in that day. We've talked about how the seven churches are still around today in every form. You'll find all seven churches around America in some form and fashion. You'll find them still today. And we also talked about the fact that I believe they are prophetic of the church age, church ages rather. And I believe that if you go back in church history and look, it's undeniable. We are definitely involved in different church ages with each of these churches. And as we came to the church of Laodicea, it's probably the saddest church of all in that it is the church that misses the rapture of the church. What is the rapture? The snatching away or the pulling out of God's bride up to heaven before God pours out his wrath during the great tribulation period. And remember, the church of Philadelphia, the one right before Laodicea, that's the raptured church. I believe we're living in that church era right now. I believe we are in the church of Philadelphia. And I believe that when the church of Philadelphia is gone, we're going to head full on into the church of Laodicea. But I believe the church of Laodicea, as I said, is already alive and well in the world and is already beginning to build up steam. Because the thing we see about the church of Laodicea is it is a church that is lukewarm. It is a church that is full of people who know religion, but they don't know their God. And that's why they're going to be left behind. The bad news is they're going to be left behind. The good news is that even though they're left behind, they can still get saved and get into the kingdom of God if they come to Christ during the great tribulation period. And what we're going to see in today's passage, a couple of things, is the Lord's amazing love, not only for his church to get us out of here. Aren't you guys glad we're going to get out of here before it gets really ugly? Now listen, I'm not saying we're going to miss a lot of the weird stuff. We already see what's happening around the world, and we know what happened even in our backyard. You know, Greenback with tornadoes, and that's a small thing compared to like, you know, tsunamis and earthquakes around the world. But the bottom line is we're not immune to bad things happening, are we? We're not immune to that. But we're not going to go through the wrath of God. And there's a big difference in bad things happening as the earth convulses in these birth pangs that the Lord said would happen in the last days. There's a big difference in that and the wrath of God. And I would take a birth pang of this earth any day over the wrath of God. I'm not belittling the tsunami or anything else, but the bottom line is that is nothing compared to God's wrath. And when we get into that, we're going to see the seals broken, the trumpets blown, the bowls poured out. And you're going to see what I'm talking about as we get further along in the book of Revelation. The amazing love that he has for us is he's taken us out of here. But the amazing love we're going to see today with the church of Laodicea is that even though this church, the Lord tells them they were lukewarm. As a matter of fact, he goes so bold as to say, actually, your religious life makes me sick. And then he gave them the remedy to get out of that situation like we saw last week. No more religion. I want a real relationship. He told them how to get out of that. This week, we're going to see that in the midst of all of that, the fact that the Lord is so displeased with them and all the ways that they are and that they're going to miss the rapture and everything, we're going to see today the Lord still knocks on the door of the church of Laodicea and he says, I love you, be mine. Now, isn't that an amazing God? Listen, how many of us, if we had our bride-to-be or our husband-to-be start ignoring us, becoming lukewarm to us, blowing us off, wanting nothing to do with us, we show up for the date we're supposed to be with them or whatever, we're not married yet, we're in that courting stage, and the door's locked. And it's like, no, go away. I don't really have time for you. How many of us would still want to pursue that person? Now, some of you might say, I love them so much, I would. But there'd come a point where you'd say, you know what? This isn't worth it. The Lord here has a church that is completely rejecting and playing religion. And he's still knocking on the door saying, I want you to be mine. And this is after he's taken his bride home. He's saying, I want you to be a part of my bride as well. And that's what we're going to see today in this last part of the church of Laodicea, because this is truly an amazing love that the Lord has for us. Although they were undesirable, although they were lost, he still loved them, and he's going to give them another chance toward this great love by reaching out and saying, I want you to be mine. And that's where we start here in verse 20. Notice what he says there. The Lord's speaking to this lukewarm church, this church of Laodicea that has rejected him, that has missed the rapture. And he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. Now, we see this as an invitation. And oftentimes this is used to reach the unbeliever, someone who doesn't know the Lord. And that is a legitimate application. Remember, when it comes to interpreting the Bible, there's one interpretation. But there are multiple applications. The interpretation is he's talking to the church of Laodicea. He's knocking on his own church trying to get in because they won't allow him in the doors. They've grown cold to him. His bride wants nothing to do with him. And so they're left behind. And yet there's the application of us individually hearing the knock of God on our heart today. And some of you are going to hear that knock of God on your heart today. Some of you might already be hearing it. And maybe God's already been knocking, but you just didn't have the ears to hear what it was he was saying. And this goes for both, believer and unbeliever. For the unbeliever, it's the knock of, you need to come to me. I love you, and I'm giving you this opportunity. For the believer, it's, you know what? I need you to come back to me. I need you to love me again the way you used to love me. I need you to show me that attention the way you used to show me. Remember what it was like when we first came to the Lord. Remember what it was like when you first came to the one that you're now married to. Not that you don't still love them, but as you know, love changes and it evolves over time. But remember those long phone calls and those times you could sit in the restaurant all night long or whatever the case might be, run the phone bill up, who cares? And yet oftentimes when it comes to the Lord, we don't even answer the phone anymore, do we? God, I think I hear you touching my heart, but I don't have time right now. Lord, I'll answer that later. And we'll see that as he goes here and begins to talk here to the church of Laodicea. But it's not just this knocking on the door to get in and this invitation. I see this also as a proposal. And what do I mean by that? Because the bride of Christ has now been taken from the earth, and the Lord is making a proposal to those that were left behind. What a loving God. Now, those that were playing church and didn't believe in the rapture, and they didn't believe that Jesus Christ was coming back, and they didn't believe prophecy or didn't believe the Bible literally, and didn't believe all these things that all the Christians around them are saying, you would think that the Lord would say, well, good enough for you. That's what you get. You missed it. You had your opportunity. Every week you heard Mark or someone else talking about the rapture of the church and all this, and you blew it off. You didn't pay any attention to it. And now just go through the rapture. Go ahead. Go through the rapture. Get what you deserve. Now that is what we think sometimes the attitude might be, right? But not if we know our God. That may be our attitude in our flesh, in frustration. But here's the Lord's attitude. I still love you. I've not turned my back on you. Yes, you missed the boat. You didn't get in. However, I'm knocking on the door now, and if you will now repent, even though you waited this long hour, even though you're going to have to now go through the great tribulation, if you will now repent, I will take you to be my own. That is a God of love. And this is the proposal he's making. Again, remember, he's the husband. The church is the bride. This is a husband going after a bride who has totally rejected him. I don't want you. I want to do my own thing. I'll make my own religion up. I'll go to church and do the things I want to do, but I'm not going to listen to your word, and I'm certainly not going to change my life. Thank you very much. And now he's saying, I still love you. I still love you. I'm still knocking. Is this amazing or what? I just find our God to be amazing here. And he starts out right off the bat by saying, behold. Literally the word behold here, you know what it means? Look. It's almost like, okay, there you are, Church of Laodicea. You're having all your services, you're doing all your things, but I'm not in there. Like, shouldn't I be? I mean, wasn't this my idea? You know, didn't I create you? Didn't I create the church? Didn't I say you were going to be my bride? Excuse me, look, I'm standing outside. And it's like this clarion call to the church of Laodicea to say, don't you see I'm not even in your midst? Can't you tell dead religion from life? Don't you know when my spirit is not present? And so he's saying, look, open your eyes and see. I'm standing outside, and how sad it is to see the Lord standing outside of his church, knocking to get in. God forbid that we ever become that way. I never want to be a church where God is knocking to get in the church. And I never want to be a part of a church where God is not involved in it, knocking to get in. What a sad picture that is. What a sad state. Listen, Jesus is the church. It's all about Jesus, guys. Nothing else in this room matters this morning. I don't care what you have on. I don't care what you think. I don't care what your background is. I don't care what color you are. I don't care what your anything is. I don't care about your status in society. Jesus is what matters. And I don't mean that in an uncaring way. I'm saying we're here for Jesus. This is all about him. When we sang a minute ago, it wasn't so that you could feel good when the worship set was over. It's not about you. I'm not trying to be offensive. It's about him. It's all about Jesus. Everything is. The word that we're in right now, it's about him. It's our love affair to him. It's his love affair to us. It's real. And it's not religion. And this is what was so sickening to him about the church of Laodicea. And notice again, he wasn't just standing there. I know he's standing at the door, he says, saying, look, look. But he's knocking. And that is, he's getting their attention. Again, some of you this morning, the Lord is knocking on your heart right now. He's getting your attention. He's saying, I need your attention. I want your attention right now. I'm knocking. Will you just listen? Look, look to me. You hear me right now, look and give me your attention. And I love that about the Lord, because not only is he getting our attention, but look what he's doing. The Lord didn't show up to the door and say, this is my church, I'm coming in. Boom, kick the door down. The angels come in, wrestle everybody to the ground, start putting handcuffs on them. Okay, back to the kingdom and that's it. You're out of here, you know. We're just taking this place over, right? He has the right to do that, doesn't he? He has the right to kick in the doors of Calvary Chapel and say, every one of you get out or everybody get in. He has the right. He's the Lord. It's his church. He's the Lord. But what does he do? He stands at the door and he knocks. Why? Because he's a gentleman. And the Lord will never force himself on anyone in this room. He loves you. He's desiring you come to him as an unbeliever. As a believer, he's desiring you get serious about him. But he's never going to force you to. He's always going to come and he's always going to knock. And guys, note this. The Lord gives everyone a choice. It is a choice that you have to make. He's not going to force you into the kingdom of God. There's not a certain elect that's set aside that they're getting in and nobody else is. He gives the choice to everyone, but you've got to make the right choice. And that is exactly what the Lord is saying here, because he says, I love you. And guys, note this, love demands a choice. True love can never be forced, can it? You know, you may want to force someone to love you, especially when you were seeking out your spouse. You know, I first started dating Tracy, she did not like me, all right? But I was crazy about her. She was like, she just kind of blew me off. She didn't like me. And I understand that. But she stole my heart from day one. There on that bicycle, me on my skateboard, she stole my heart. I'm not joking. That's how I met her. And she stole my heart. She's the only one that ever stole my heart like that, ever. And I'll never forget that. That's how God is to you. You've stolen his heart. He can't forget it. You don't deserve it. You don't deserve it at all, but he loves you. He's madly in love with you, and his heart has been stolen by you. And so he says, I want you to choose me, but I'm not going to make you choose me. What kind of God would be in heaven and say, you have to choose me, and you will come to heaven, that's it, and you're going to love me and like it. We laugh, but guys, listen, our God gives a choice, doesn't he? He gives a choice. And so that's what true love is. There has to be that choice. And notice he says this, says, I will come in and I will dine with you. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. But note this again, before I go on to the dining, note this, if anyone hears my voice, question, who is heaven available for? Only a select few? Anyone. Anyone that will hear his voice, anyone that will turn, anyone that will come to him, God will receive them, but they must choose him. And he said, if anyone will come and hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and dine with him and he with me. Now, dining here is a very interesting analogy when you understand the culture a little bit more, because the bottom line is the second most intimate thing you could do in that culture was to dine with someone. What do you mean, Mark? Here's what I mean. The most intimate was the marriage relationship. You were married to each other and you had that union. That was the most intimate. But the second most intimate, because you became one. But the second most intimate was eating together, because they believed in eating together, you became one as well. You see, they believed that if you took the same portion of food and they ate from that food and you ate from that food, both from that one portion of food, say a piece of bread that you both broke, you ate your portion, they ate their portion, but it came from the one solid portion, that in some mystical way, you became one. You were joined together as one and you became one together. And so what he's saying is, I not only want to propose to you, I will not only take you as my bride, although it be late, you're late to the wedding and your dress is soiled somewhat because of the great tribulation. I take you as my bride and I want to be one with you. And I not only want to take you as my bride, I want to dine with you. I want you to be a part of. You're missing the marriage feast of the Lamb. Isn't that something? Those who miss the rapture are going to miss the marriage supper of the Lamb. Because the marriage supper of the Lamb is going to take place after the rapture takes place, during that 7-year period, the Bible says. And now the Lord is offering to his new bride, who's going to miss the wedding dinner. You know what? I'll make you another one. I'll make you another wedding dinner. I'll prepare a table even for you. It's not too late. I love you. And you can still come in. What a great and loving God we have. He's truly amazing. And this is what this is all about. But I tell you something else that struck me about this is the level of love and humility that he had for this bride. Now, it's one thing to humble yourself and love the one that you love and they love you, and that's great. But what about one that has rejected you and has completely locked you out of the house and turned away from you, and you still keep pursuing them and you've done nothing wrong? See, that's the picture of our Lord. He's done nothing wrong. He is the door into heaven. If anybody should be knocking on a door and begging to get in, it should be the church that's left behind or anybody else that didn't make it into the kingdom of God. But rather than saying, you better beg, you better come and knock and scream and yell, and I might let you in. I don't know if I will or not. He doesn't wait for them to even come out from behind locked doors and their pride and their arrogance. You know what he does? He goes to their pride and arrogant door, and he begins to knock and humble himself in love and say, although you should be begging me and wishing you could get in the kingdom rather than being eternally separated, I love you so much, I'm coming after you. I'm coming after you. There's hope beyond the tribulation. There's life after this, and it can be with me forever in the kingdom of God. That is our God. And notice he says, to him who overcomes, verse 21, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He says, even as I am now in the kingdom ruling, if you will come to me now, you will be in the kingdom ruling with me as well. And how do they overcome? By believing and turning from their sin, by receiving him as Lord. That's how they overcome, because they're trapped in their sin. He says, if you'll repent now, and you'll come to me, he says, you will be forgiven, and not only be forgiven. When I come back and rule and reign on the earth for 1,000 years, yes, you missed the wedding feast. Yes, you missed some of the other festivities in heaven. But when I come back and rule and reign on the earth for 1,000 years, you're going to sit on thrones with the rest of us. You're not going to be a second-class citizen. You're not going to be serving those who made the rapture, okay? Although we will be serving each other, because that's the ultimate form of love and greatness in the kingdom of God. But you get my point. They're going to be with us on the throne, with the throne on the Lord. The Lord's going to be on the throne. We're going to be ruling and reigning with him. Just to see God's grace and God's mercy, you've overcome. You're going to reign with me. In verse 22, notice he says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Again, with each of the churches, he said this to them. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And guys, how important it is that you have spiritual ears. Did you know you had people praying for you today that you would have spiritual ears? There were people praying for you, second service, that you would have spiritual ears, so that when I got up here and began to share, first of all, that I'd have a spiritual mouth. That's the first thing that's got to happen, but that you'd have spiritual ears to hear what the Lord is saying to the church, because he wasn't just saying it to the church of Laodicea or Philadelphia or Thyatira or Smyrna. You know the whole gambit. He wasn't just saying it to them, because he said this to each of the seven churches. He's saying it to his church as a whole. If you have ears, hear what the Spirit is saying, and don't just hear, respond. Are you hearing the knock of the Lord on your heart this morning? You need to respond to it. That's what the Lord is saying. So we have to make sure and say, if you don't have it, we have to say, God, give us ears to hear. And Father, I pray right now you give each one of us ears to hear. And if there's anyone in here who doesn't have ears to hear, give them ears right now. And I thank you, Lord. Now, in the first portion of this, we saw what happened with the Lord making his proposal and his invitation to the Laodicean church. But guys, what I want to finish with today is the result of that decision. Because Laodicea had to make a decision. In their day and prophetically, they're going to have to make a decision. And all of us in this room are going to have to make a decision as well. And what the result of that decision is going to determine where we spend forever. But the neat thing to me about this whole decision is something I'd never seen before until just recently. You know, all through the Bible, God gives these pictures of the rapture. One of them is, remember Abraham when he went up and he took Isaac up to the Temple Mount and he sacrificed Isaac. But remember, the Lord stopped him from doing it because he said he will provide himself a lamb. It was a picture of the Father giving his son on Mount Moriah, which is, by the way, the Temple Mount, and a lamb was slaughtered instead. You remember that? And then it says they came back down the mountain. But note this, Isaac disappears from the pages of Scripture at that moment. And we do not see the son of the Father again in the Bible until he's reunited with his bride later on. What a beautiful picture of the rapture. As the Lord has now gone back up into heaven, and we as bride are waiting, and we will not see him again until he is reunited with his bride. These are all through the Bible. There's a new one that was pointed out to me just recently. I've never seen this before in my life. But a new one in the Song of Solomon I want to show you. I want you to turn as we do the last half of today in the Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon, I want you to go to chapter 2. Because we see this beautiful picture in the Scripture of the rapture of the church. And what's exciting to me about this particular one is we see the love of the Lord for his bride as well. This whole relationship of the Lord to his church. Now, what do we see in chapter 2? First of all, we see the wedding. We're seeing the wedding. Now, obviously, the book of Solomon was written about Solomon and the Shulamite. And that is this love relationship they had. But as you know, there's an initial interpretation, but then there are multiple applications. And the initial interpretation is this is Solomon to his wife. But an additional application is this is the Lord speaking to his church. It's the husband speaking to the bride of the love that he has for his church. And this whole passage, starting here in 4 and working all the way through to 3 to the end, is the wedding feast and then the wedding. Notice it starts in verse 4 of chapter 2. This being, I believe, the church, he brought me to the banqueting house. Now, I love this because as the feast starts, what they would do is they would have a 7-day wedding feast before this thing was over, before the wedding was completed and done. It was a 7-day wedding feast. Even as we are going to be with the Lord 7 years in heaven while the great tribulation is taking place. And during those 7 days, you would feast every day, even as we're going to be feasting at the marriage supper of the Lamb in heaven all those years until the Lord comes back. And so the first thing we see when the rapture takes place is what? He brought me to his banqueting table. Now, I love this because literally it means his house of wine. Do you remember what Jesus said to the disciples in the upper room when he ate with them that final night? He said, I will not drink of this cup again until I drink it with you anew in the kingdom. That is, it will be at the banqueting table, the wedding supper of the Lamb. And his banner over me was love. Notice the bride continues to speak. Sustain me with cakes of raisins. Refresh me with apples, for I'm lovesick. This whole picture of being madly in love with the Lord. His left hand is under my head. His right hand embraces me. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, by the gazelles and by the does of the field, do not stir nor awaken love until it pleases. And I'll notice verse 8. The voice of my beloved, behold, he comes. Now remember in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17, it says that the Lord in the rapture will descend from heaven with what? A shout and the voice of the archangel. So when the Lord comes back, we're going to hear this voice, and the voice is going to say, come up here. We don't know exactly what it's going to say, but we're going to go up to the Lord. Very possibly could say that as we see the rapture when we get to chapter 4 next week. But notice he says, behold, the Lord comes, and the beloved hears his voice. The Lord coming back in the clouds. Notice, leaping upon the mountains. And this is amazing. Skipping upon the hills. When you start doing word studies, it's amazing what the Lord brings out. This word skipping here is applied to someone shutting a door. Now, it doesn't sound like it would be, but think of this. Shutting a door is the whole picture of the Lord coming back for his bride. Behold, the voice of the Lord. We go with the Lord, and now the door is shut into the kingdom of God until that 7-year period is done. And now those that are left out are not going to get in. Remember the parable Jesus gave of the virgins, the 5 wise and the 5 unwise. The 5 wise are the ones who had their lamps filled. They were filled with the Spirit. They were watching for the Lord and they were ready. The 5 that weren't, the door was shut and they were left. Church of Laodicea. They're left behind. And now we see this whole picture here where the door is shut. My beloved is like a gazelle or a young stag. I love this definition here of the Lord. If you look at it from that spiritual aspect, because literally what it means is he's the best in regards to splendor, honor, beauty, and glory. Does that not describe our Lord? I love it. And so he's like a gazelle or a young stag here, he says. This whole beauty, this whole picture that's being painted of him. And he says, behold, he stands out behind our wall. He's looking through the windows, gazing through the lattice. My beloved spoke and said to me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and what? Come away, the rapture of the church. The Lord coming for his bride. Rise up. It's time. You've waited long enough. I'm now taking you to myself. Rise up and come away. For lo, the winter is past. The rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of singing has come. It's time for the marriage supper of the Lamb, which is what they're celebrating here in this passage, literally anyway, with Solomon and the Shulamite. The voice of turtle doves is heard in the land. Note this, the fig tree puts forth her fig trees. Jesus said in Matthew 24 that we would know the time is near like the blooming of the fig tree. The fig tree puts forth her green figs and the vines with the tender grapes give a good smell. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Again, taking us into the clouds. Oh, my dove and the clefts. And I love this. Notice what happens. Once we go in the clouds with the Lord, the door is shut. And now we have this private audience with the Lord. The door shut. We're in the wedding chamber. We're there with him having the feast and all of us there that know Christ and we're celebrating. That's what it's going to be like. The door is going to be shut to the world, to everything but beyond us. And we're only going to be celebrating together as a family. If you've been involved in any wedding, and probably most of us have, you know what that's like when you come in and you have that meal together and you have that time together. The doors of the church are shut, so to speak, as the ceremony goes on. And notice here what he says. Oh, my dove. In the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the cliff. In other words, in the closed-in places that are secret. Even as the doors in heaven shut behind us after the rapture, the Lord says to us, listen what he's saying, let me see your face. Let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet and your face is lovely. And so the Lord talking here to us talking to the Lord, he says, catch the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. Again, get rid of anything that would hinder our walk with the Lord. My beloved is mine and I am his. He feeds his flock among the lilies until the day breaks and the shadows flee away. Turn, my beloved, and be like a gazelle or a young stag upon the mountains of separation. Wait a minute, Mark. My Bible says the mountain of Bethor. That's right. Guess what Bethor means? Separation. Even as when the Lord gets us in the rapture of the church, we will be separated from this world. We will be taken to the heavens. The door will be shut and we will have this wonderful, intimate feast and time with the Lord. And that's exactly what I believe he's talking about here in Song of Solomon chapter 2. Now, that deals with us. That is the believer. That is the person who knows Jesus Christ. What about the unbeliever? What about the church of Laodicea? Mark, you said they could still get in. Yes, they can get in. But their getting in is going to be very different than our getting in. Let's finish the wedding out first. Look at verse 6. Who is this coming? And again, I believe here's a picture. I don't know. I don't want to take this too far and say this is what it's going to be like in the wedding feast. But again, this is interesting. Who is this coming out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke? Again, the Bible says that the Lord is surrounded with clouds of smoke and he'll come back in clouds of smoke, perfumed in myrrh and frankincense with all the merchants' fragrant powders. Behold, it is Solomon's couch with 60 valiant men around it, of the valiant of Israel. They all hold swords, being expert in war. Every man has his sword on his thigh because of fear of the night. Why would you have your sword on at a wedding? Why would you have at the wedding feast everybody wearing their sword? Because guys, guess what happens at the end of the wedding feast? The Battle of Armageddon. The Bible says that when we're done with the wedding feast, we will come down with the Lord in the clouds of glory, and the Battle of Armageddon will take place in northern Israel. And so now we see even in the midst of the wedding feast and the wedding, we are girded for battle. The Lord and his men are girded for battle. Or of the wood of Lebanon, Solomon the king made himself a palanquin. That is a couch type thing. He made its pillars of silver, its supports of gold, its seat of purple, its interior paved with love by the daughters of Jerusalem. Go forth, O daughters of Zion, and see King Solomon with his crown with which his mother crowned him on the day of his wedding, the day of the gladness of his heart. And that is going to be the day of the gladness of the Lord's heart when he takes his bride back to heaven. And it's going to be the day of the gladness of our heart as well. However, as I said, what about the church of Laodicea? What's going to happen to them? You see, are they going to be the bride as well too? Yes. They're going to be saved during the great tribulation, many of them. Not much of the church of Laodicea, but some of the church of Laodicea. And many others are going to be saved during the great tribulation. And as we already spoke about earlier, they're going to be the bride. They're going to join us and they're going to be a part of it. But when they join us, it's going to be a lot worse. They're going to have to get their wedding dress soiled, so to speak, because of the great tribulation. They're going to go through suffering. They're going to go through abuse. Many will have their heads cut off and tortured as the Antichrist again brings this abuse on the church and begins to assault the church during those final 7 years. And where do we see this in the Song of Solomon? Now, let's look at chapter 5. Turn to chapter 5, starting in verse 2. By the way, the first vision, if you will, of the wedding and the wedding supper, that was a dream that the Shulamite was having. The wedding was a dream the Shulamite had. Now the Shulamite has another dream. And in this dream now, I believe we see what is going to happen to those that are left behind after the rapture, but are still going to be a part of the church and be saved and be brought into the kingdom out of the great tribulation. That is, they know a lot of the word, they know about God, but they refuse to believe because they were spiritually asleep. Oh, they knew the Bible. They were awake in that way. They had heard about the rapture. They had heard about people talking that Jesus was coming back, but they were asleep spiritually. And that's what we take up in verse 2. Notice this. The Shulamite, this is the bride's second dream. I sleep, but my heart is awake. That is a perfect description of the church of Laodicea. Mark, what do you mean? They're spiritually asleep, but they've heard about the rapture. They've heard about the second coming. They're not blind to it, but they're spiritually asleep, so they've missed it. It is the voice of my beloved. Now, this is before the rapture. Again, notice the church of Laodicea before. It is the voice of my beloved. He knocks. Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And notice he says, he knocks, saying, open for me, my sister, my love, my dove, my perfect one. For my head is covered with dew, my locks with drops of the night. He says, I'm here to take you to be with me in the kingdom. I've come for you. I've come for my bride. Hear my voice and be ready. But notice the response of the church of the Laodiceans. It's a lot like an unresponsive wife who's cold and hard to her husband. Look at this. And he even uses that example. Oh, I can't. In other words, look at verse 3. I've taken off my robe. How can I put it on again? You know, I appreciate your romantic advances, but not tonight. I'm not ready. Not right now. Notice it goes on. I have washed my feet. How can I defile them? Don't make me get up and go through this. I really don't want to do this. Leave me alone, Lord. Now, we can make the application on an earthly level, and that can certainly be a legitimate application made. But the bottom line is the church of Laodicea and those that are cold and lukewarm to the Lord, he's going to be saying, you know what? I hear about the rapture. I hear what you fanaticals. I hear about all this stuff. Look, that's fine for you. I'm glad you believe that. But I'm not going to take off my robe. I'm not going to soil my feet. I'm doing fine in my religion. Things are good. And I've got my own kind of relationship with him. Maybe it's not like your kind of relationship. But I have a relationship in the spirit realm. And I've got a connection. I go to church and I do this. That's the church of Laodicea. And notice what happens. Now the Lord makes one last chance before he turns away. My beloved, that is the Lord, put his hand by the latch of the door. And at this point, I believe, is when the rapture takes place. The Lord puts his hand to the door, but she doesn't open. And only those that are ready go. And why do I say I believe this is the place it takes place? Because look at the very next line. These are for those left behind. He says, and my heart yearned for him. The meaning of this word yearned is very interesting. Because what it means literally is this, to murmur, to growl, to roar, to cry aloud, to mourn, to rage, to make noise, to be disquieted, to be moved, to be troubled, to be in an uproar. Would that not describe any of us in this room if we found out we missed the rapture of the church? I would begin to just mourn and moan and groan and say, I can't believe it. What a fool I was. You mean I was playing religion? I knew I really didn't mean it. Why didn't I just admit it? Why didn't I just get real? Why did I play this game? It's too late. The good news is it's not too late. But what you have to go through is not going to be fun. And this journey, she goes, I yearned for him. I moaned, I cried, I roared, but the door was closed. It was too late. The bride was gone. And now I've got to go through the great tribulation. Notice, I arose. Now you see this excitement, like maybe he's still there. I arose to open for my beloved, and my hands dripped with myrrh. Interesting, myrrh is this whole picture of what the Lord, when he came, it was a picture of his death. And now we see after the bride is left behind, the one that wasn't really a bride but was pretending, now suddenly she's proclaiming his death. Now suddenly her hands are dripping with myrrh. Jesus is real. The people that are gone were really raptured. He loves you, and now I've been saved and you can be saved too. It's not too late for you. The church that's left behind will be dripping with myrrh. They will be dripping the death of the Lord, saying you've got to believe. But notice her anticipation, hoping he's still there. I open for my beloved. My hands drip with myrrh, my fingers with liquid myrrh on the handles of the lock. Lord, are you still there? I open for my beloved. I get a picture of the door swinging open, saying, is there still a chance for me? But my beloved had turned away and was gone. It's too late. Because whenever has the bride of Christ not had their beloved there? Only for those that are left behind and become the bride of Christ after the rapture of the church. And they're going to sling the door open and say, I can't believe this really happened. I can't believe it. I didn't even like that crazy movie. And these people and all the things they shared, and I can't believe this. And I'm slinging the door open now. Lord, I'm ready now. I'm ready now. Lord, take me now. But like the virgins, he's going to say, depart from me. It's too late. And yet, they can still get in. This is the good news. They can still get in. He says, my beloved has turned away and was gone. My heart leaped when he spoke. In other words, I realized I can still get in. It's not too late. It's too late to make the rapture, but I can be saved. My heart leaped. I sought him, but I couldn't find him. It's too late. I called him, but he gave me no answer. The watchman who went about the city found me. Now, what does the Bible say is going to happen to the church of Laodicea and or the believers after the rapture of the church takes place? The enemy's going to seek them out. The Antichrist is going to hunt them down. And if you don't take the mark of the beast, your head's going to be cut off. And you're not going to be able to buy food or do anything, even if they don't find you, if you're in hiding. And notice the watchmen go out looking for this particular displaced bride. And they found me. And notice what happens. Guys, when is the bride of Christ ever struck and wounded? Look at the next line. They struck me and they wounded me. I never understood that. Every time I read Song of Solomon, I thought, Lord, when would your bride ever be struck and wounded? I don't understand this. For the first time in my life, I believe I understand. I believe the Lord is speaking of those who missed the rapture. I believe he's talking about his bride. It's going to be too late. The door's been closed. And he says, they struck me and they wounded me. The keepers of the wall took my veil away from me. Oh, you can believe the veil's gone now. The veil's been lifted, hadn't it? I can see now. I can absolutely see. Jesus is the way and the rapture's real, but it's too late. It's not too late once I get through the tribulation. But now I see the veil's been lifted. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, tell him that I'm lovesick. Oh, Lord, take me out of this tribulation. Just take me on to heaven. I don't want to be here. Guys, don't let that be you. As we finish this today, listen, here's the appeal. There are two different kinds of people here. There are those that are in the kingdom and there are those that are not in the kingdom. Those of you that are saved, you know it. You've given your life to the Lord. He knocked on your heart. You received him as Lord. You're in the kingdom. Some of you are right now, the Lord's knocking on your heart and you don't know him. You don't know him. And you know that you don't know him. You need to make a decision to give your life to him this morning before it's too late. You need to give your heart to him. He's knocking on your heart. Don't turn away and not allow the Lord to do it. But I want to do two things. I want us to worship team to come up. Come on up here. And Brian, I want you again to play if you would. Go ahead and start right away. Make sure Brian's channel is turned on up there, whoever's running the soundboard. And Brian, go ahead and begin to play. And I want to go ahead and dim the lights. Let's turn the lights off back there. Gene, just turn the lights off. Because guys, I don't want anything to hinder you right now. We don't have much time. I want just a moment of prayer. Together as we pray as a body. And here's what I want you to do first. The first thing I want you to do is I want you to pray individually. Pray on your own if God's knocking on your heart. And I want you to ask God this question. God, where in my life, as a believer, where are you knocking? What have I become a cold bride to you? Am I pushing you away and saying, no, not right now, Lord, another time? Or am I receptive to you, Lord? Am I warm to you? Let God knock on your heart and show you that. And the second thing is, if there's any of you that don't know the Lord, I want you to do this. I want you to receive him. If you say, he's knocking on my heart, but I don't know him, I want you to ask him in your heart. Simply say this, Lord, I hear you knocking, and I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I believe you died for me, and I hear your spirit calling me this morning. Lord, I want you to come into my heart, and I want you to be my Lord, and I want you to be my Savior. And I want you to pray that right now. First of all, begin to pray for those of you who know the Lord. You begin to pray for God to show you where you need to have your heart, where he's knocking. And those of you that don't know him, I want you right now to begin to pray to receive the Lord. Let's just take a moment to do that. Begin to pray right now. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Conviction, Lord. Watch your spirit, Lord, on your people, God. Lord, knock on the hearts of the saints. Show them, Lord, show us, Lord, where we need to be more receptive to you. God, where we've shut you out, where we've become cold. Move, God. Thank you, Jesus. Receive his love, bride. Receive his love. Swing the door open wide. Give it all to him, Lord. It's all yours. Give it all. Thank you, Lord. Okay, now some of you right now don't know the Lord. I want you to begin to pray right now to receive him. If you don't know him, no big fanfare. Just begin to confess right now. Say, Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. And I ask you to forgive me. Come into my heart. Begin to pray that right now. If that's you, lift it up to the Lord right now. And those of you around the room, begin to pray for them right now. Other believers, start praying for those in the room right now that may not know the Lord. Start praying for them. And you can pray out loud if you want. Don't pray in the spirit. Just pray in your normal voice. But it's okay. There's nothing wrong. You want to pray out loud? Begin to pray right now for those who don't know Christ in this room. Begin to lift them up. Pray for them. Thank you, Lord. God, we pray, Father, for those who don't know you, God, that they would give in and, Lord, receive you this morning. Lord, to be their Lord and their Savior. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Receive him. We want you to be with us in the kingdom of God. We don't want you to be left out. Be part of the bride now. Receive, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Guys, I want to do one more thing before we close off in prayer. A little bit unorthodox, but it's biblical. I want you to thank the Lord right where you are. And those of you that I want you to pray out loud and thank the Lord. Begin to pray and just thank him. Thank him for his love. Thank him for his goodness. Thank him for who he is and what he's done. Just let's just give just a moment of all of us together at one time. Just thanking the Lord. Your praises are up to him. But begin to pray. Begin to pray out loud. Let the Lord just give him worship. Let him know right now with your voice that you love him. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God. We bless your name, Father. We thank you for your goodness, Lord. We thank you for your love. We thank you for what you've done for us, Lord, and take us as your bride. Thank you, God, for your spirit. Thank you, Lord God, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for our wives, our husbands, our children. Thank you, Lord, for the hope we have in the kingdom of God. Lift it up to the Lord, guys. Give him praise. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, God. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Father, we do just thank you, Lord, this morning. We thank you, God, for the sweetness of your spirit and the move of your spirit. I know, God, that you've touched hearts in here, because if you've touched nobody else, you've touched mine. I thank you for that, Lord. God, draw your saints to you. Make your bride be sweet and receptive to you and gentle and loving, Lord. And Lord, let those that don't know you, Lord, truly push in and receive you before it's too late, God. And Lord, lastly, I pray that you would give us a burn and a desire for those who don't know you, who we know, Lord, are going to be left behind. Let us not be silent. But we know, Lord, what awaits, and give us boldness to be able to share and to reach out to them. And we thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for the work you've done this morning, and just give you glory. And ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.